More people in New York die in hospitals than almost any place else in the country, and fewer people here die in a hospice, where doctors and nurses help ease the approach of death rather than fight it. In the second part of our series, Deathbeds, WNYC's Fred Mogul looks at why hospice use here has trailed so far behind the rest of the country.
Give me a kiss.
Yeah. Sandra Lopez and her chihuahua Coco are inseparable.
He's very close to me, follows me everywhere.
Coco helps keep Lopez's mood up when she's in pain, which is often.
I'll pick him up and he nourishes me back to life.
But Coco can only do so much. The 49-year-old Lopez is slowly dying of malignant skin cancer that spread throughout her body.
Some days the pain is so excruciating that the pain overrides the medication.
None of that happens much anymore, since Heather Myrand, a hospice nurse from the Metropolitan Jewish Health Service, has been making weekly visits to Lopez's apartment in the Sheepshead Bay houses in Brooklyn.
Okay, let me just do this and then we'll see.
Myrand checks her breathing.
Any coughing, any, yeah.
Her blood pressure and her vital signs.
Okay, it's pretty good. It's the same range.
And talks to Lopez about what's happening with her many medications.
Are you using your treatment, the nebulizer?
No. Remember I told you that gets me dizzy?
Oh, that's right. Makes you,
That gets my heart racing. I get like so anxious and nervous, so I don't take it.
Lopez says she's lucky her doctor told her about home hospice care, but she's in the minority locally. Despite strong evidence that hospices can extend life and save money, only about 25% of terminally ill New Yorkers use hospices, compared with closer to 50% nationally. In parts of Arizona, Florida, and Utah, almost everybody passes away in a hospice. Jean Dennis from the Visiting Nurse Service of New York says there are many reasons why this area has some of the lowest hospice rates in the country, but one place to start is patients' fears.
If you're referred to hospice, it means no one expects you to get better. And that is, in my mind, a threshold that's difficult for people to step over.
And it isn't just patients and their loved ones. Doctors and hospitals in this region are geared to cure patients, not just care for them. More than almost any place in the country, physicians here are specialists and subspecialists working or trained at high-powered academic medical centers. Treating and testing is just what they do. Letting go isn't.
Physicians put off the conversation. It's a little too soon, it's a little too early, I don't have enough time today, I'm not sure they're ready for it.
New York has 7 out of the 10 hospitals in the country with the fewest hospice referrals. And unlike Sandra Lopez's experience, most hospice referrals here are for brief stays, a week or less, 2.5 times shorter than the national average. Hospice consultant Zoa Gang says when hospitals move patients onto hospice with just a few days left to live, patients can benefit from the pain and symptom management, but they don't get the full hospice experience.
They're not getting the psychosocial support, and their families are not. It can be a time of closure and coming to peace with a lot of things in your life, and none of that can happen if you come onto hospice with a day left.
Hospice service usually occurs at home, but can also take place in a nursing home, freestanding hospice center, or a dedicated area of a hospital. And it's not just nurses working on physical issues. Hospices also provide social workers and mental health counselors and chaplains to help the dying and their family members. Sandra Lopez's nurse, Heather Myrand, performs all these roles.
When you overcome something and you have that freedom to talk about it, that also sets other people free because it makes them know, hey, you know, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Keep telling people.
That's God's
grace. It gives them hope. It encourages.
I'm not confused who's in charge of this. I know God is in charge.
I know.
Even though many eligible New Yorkers aren't using it, hospice is a basic benefit covered by Medicare for 6 months for the elderly and terminally ill. Some patients can be recertified for longer, and some stabilize, go off hospice care, and then return later when they start declining again. Some insurance companies and hospitals are experimenting with letting people use hospice care while also receiving traditional curative treatment. Dr. Jeremy Bull, the chief medical officer at Mount Sinai Health System, says at his network's 7 hospitals, some terminally ill patients start working with hospice programs from the very time they're diagnosed.
Because those conversations are starting earlier, they're also creating opportunities for the patient to actually elect for more of a palliative approach or an approach that's at least equally focused on comfort and dignity as aggressive care.
There have been several initiatives to expand hospice care at Mount Sinai over the last 20 years, and its terminally ill patients are more likely to receive hospice care than patients at other local facilities, but they're all far behind the nation as a whole. Consultant Zoe Geng is studying this gap. She says New York poses many unique challenges, like small apartments where many people live alone, unsupported by family members.
There isn't a caretaker readily available at home who can provide the kind of 24/7 care that is often needed when a person is extremely ill and at the end of life.
Hospices don't provide on-site, around-the-clock care, so additional support has to come from somewhere if people want to die at home. And even when ailing patients do have nearby family members, home hospice care isn't easy. Jean Dennis says the visiting nurse service offers a lot of help, but most of the heavy lifting, feeding, dressing, bathing, still falls to other caregivers.
It takes commitment. It takes confidence. It takes a lot for a family to get through that experience. And once they do, then there's a tremendous amount of pride and satisfaction. And we did something that was really important.
Back in Brooklyn, Sandra Lopez has help from family members and also from a part-time home health aide who helps get her up and around and fed. Lopez's hospice has improved her quality of life in many ways, especially in keeping her pain controlled, so she doesn't have to call 911 for help.
Before hospice, 4 months ago, I was probably in the hospital like 15 times in a month.
So in the whole 12 months before the hospice, like dozens and dozens of times?
Dozens of times. But I'm really glad that I have hospice, that I'm home with my daughter. You know, she's 15, and, you know, she don't need to see me run into a hospital every time, you know.
Lopez says most of those trips led to multi-night hospital stays. Hospice care has almost eliminated that, probably saving taxpayers tens of thousands of dollars in the process. Maybe more. It's difficult to quantify. But by one estimate, hospices can save around 20% of what Medicare spends on a patient's last 6 months of life. For Lopez, hospice is helping her get ready to walk down the final road.
I stopped worrying like the worry box I used to be. I just live my life normally like everybody else because worrying will just probably get me more sick.
With tumors in her breast, arm, and pancreas, Lopez knows at some point her body will start shutting down. But she's not dwelling on that. She says she's at peace and can stay that way, as long as someone is with her at home, at her bedside, helping subdue her pain. For WNYC, I'm Fred Mogul.
Tomorrow, in the third part of our series, Deathbeds, we'll hear about how people can use living wills to direct end-of-life medical care. And for more information on hospices in the metro area and to see a video presentation on Sandra Lopez, go to WNYC.org.